everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, and welcome to Reporting is Eligible. I'm Paul Noonan of Acme Packing Company and the Shepherd Express. We just beat the Chargers in a, I would say, really fun back-and-forth battle of a game, a battle of wits and skill position players. And here to help me break it down on the holidays, first of all, in urban Wauwatosa, we have...
Hey, it's J.R. Radcliffe, trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In honor of a game in which the Chargers had about four Yancey Thigpens on the field.
Boy, they did.
I went back and looked at the photo from 1995 when Yancey Thigpen famously dropped the ball in the end zone from the Steelers, giving the Packers the division title. One thing really struck by the amount of blaze orange in the crowd, like it was all you would think that was the actual color of the team that everyone was cheering for. And it is striking to me. Of course, this is hunting weekend, but I think you probably see it just as much in December. Haven't seen the blaze orange anymore. The blaze orange is going away. The dinosaur. Global warming is taking our blaze orange from Lambeau Field.
I think part of it's the blaze orange going away, but I think it's being replaced by the camo. I feel like
yes, probably
there is a lot of camo hunting gear, which I'm not a hunter, but I do not understand that because you know the point of the blaze orange is for people to see you and not shoot
right?
you, whereas the purpose of camo is I think pretty apparent. So they're very cross purposes, and I miss the blaze orange. I love the blaze orange jumpsuit look. It was very Wisconsin, you know, when it's all up there in the stands. And we shouldn't do shtick because we don't have Matt joining us also to help break down the game. Special returning guest who wrote a book. We have.
Yeah, I'm Tyler Brook, and I wrote a book. It's good to see you guys. It's weird. I feel like things are changed. The vibes are off. Paul is not in his usual setup.
Yep.
JR does not have a microphone he holds anymore.
yeah, that's right. I got one that parks now. It's really sweet.
Whoa. Oh, wow. We just got like all kinds of technical upgrades. This is wild.
Yeah, it compensates for my downgrade. If this ends up sounding weird to listeners, it's because I am on a porch in a condominium in Tampa.
That's so weird.
Trying not to wake up children. So that is how this goes. My computer's on a chair in front of me, and there's a hat rack. So not my usual digs with my monster computer and my great internet. We got old person internet, and hopefully it holds out. But yeah,
old person internet is the name of my retro 80s band.
It's a good name. It's a good name. Anyway, I watched this game on my phone on the plane, so I might have missed some numbers and whatnot. I think I got the gist of it, and seemed to go well. But I don't know. Like, how do you guys feel about this game? I feel like, even though this was close, and even though there were still a few problems here and there, that this really was kind of building on some of the successes of the past few, like getting Wicks more involved, getting Reed like super more involved, and I mean that looked fantastic. And I think maybe we have something here on offense this time, not running game wise, but passing game wise.
You know, back in the day, I used to give really like in-depth tactical answers about these things. What I'm just going to say is I had fun watching the game. It's nice watching the Packers look somewhat competent, score some points, and then just see some progression from the offense, like you mentioned.
And the first 300-yard passing game since 2021 for this team.
Jeez. Oh, my Lord. I thought the same thing. Obviously, I mean, I would defer to the smarter folk in the room, but like this was the first time I can remember, and it is, I guess, really back-to-back games where Jordan Love would drop back, throw the ball over the middle, and the camera would move, and I would assume there is an open receiver there, or that, more importantly, a catch will be made. I don't know if that was always the case. If he threw it past, I'll say, 15 yards prior, early in the season, it would be like, how's this going to go? Like, yeah. you hope it doesn't end in an interception or something. I still don't think the deep ball is great, but I guess some numbers maybe suggesting and that's getting better too. Guys
we'll
getting
get to
open.
That.
Sure, sure. Guys getting open though. And it feels like they finally, you know, I don't know if you can really see confidence. I feel like Jordan Love has always been somewhat confident, but I don't know. He looks different. He threw one of those like weird dip your shoulder passes early in the game. I want to say it was a short pass to Musgrave maybe. And he didn't do that again. Like he's not, it used to be like a good third to a quarter of his throws were weird off balance, crazy ones. Now, even when he's throwing off his back foot, it looks much more upright and there's a lot more zip to it. It seems so. That's the only thing I care about. I mean, I only care about Jordan Love. I really don't think this is a playoff team. They still need every break to go their way to win a football game. I mean, these guys dropped so many important passes. So I'm not exactly chalking it up to sensational win, but it is two pretty good Jordan Love games in a row, and that's really important.
Yeah. And they're, by the way, they're eighth in projected playoff percentage out of a 17 playoff right now. So, you know. It could the schedule's so hard though. Like they get the Chiefs and the Lions are gonna. Probably...
they're gonna have to beat either the Chiefs or the Lions. They got to win one of them.
They do,
and the Lions are beatable after this past week, maybe. But
so I think if they were a competent team, the Lions would be beatable. I just think the Lions are gonna rush for 300 yards again because that's how Joe Barry rolls. And this is gonna be like the every single beat reporter is gonna be asking about two down linemen after the Lions game. That's my prediction for the Lions game. That's all I got. I like this game a lot because I like how like this was a Dontavian Wicks breakout game. Like over at Acme Packing Company, we've as a group been betting the over on his reception yards for the last 5 weeks.
So much money,
and it's hit
so much.
It's hit 5 weeks in a row, and it's been like 10 or 11. It went up to 19 this week. It's 19.5, and I bet it's not that next week. I bet it's like 40 next week. 91 yards plus a DPI and. Just some phenomenal catch and runs. Like, really, really looked like... we always talk about him as being the one guy who looks like an actual professional receiver out there. And he just looks like he's got good wiggle to him. It's fun to see him play and start to get... Although he didn't get that many snaps. He only played, like, 30% of snaps in this game. They still give Watson and Dobbs way, way, way more than they do Wicks. But it doesn't matter. He performs when he's out there. That's all you need. And Reed's just phenomenal. Those two guys are going to be the future. I love them.
Every time they make plays, I just feel so validated and vindicated about draft talk, talking about how much I love both of those guys.
I mean,
saying I'm not sure they're Packers types either.
For those who are maybe new, Tyler loved Jaden Reed. I did not. in my numbers, did not catch enough passes. And I think when he's outside, that still actually is a small problem for him. But I'm actually adjusting my metrics this year. Last year was the draft of the tiny receiver. There were a lot of small guys in that draft. And one big change I'm making is I'm projecting anybody who's playing outside in college, who is on the short side, if they're going to be a slot guy in the NFL, like if they're going to go from 15% to 80% in slot snaps, which was what Reed did, I'm giving him a huge upgrade. Because like Jaden Reed was fantastic outside. He just was kind of penalized for being a little on the small side. Guys were able to get in his grill a little bit. But as soon as you move that talent to the slot, it just plays up so much. And Tank Dell's kind of the same way. So I'm making that change next year. That's a big factor.
What's so funny about Reed is the limitations are still very clearly there. Like,
they are.
He does
but
not
it doesn't
have
matter.
A lot of, he has not good length for a not big guy, and he still makes tons of plays. Like, I think my favorite thing about him, though, just watch him block when you get an opportunity to. I mean, he's not big. He's competitive as hell, and I just really appreciate that.
Same here. Same here. I also thought this was a great Tucker Kraft game, the first one of the year.
He was
really good in this game. And this isn't what the numbers are going to sell him short a little bit if you don't actually go and watch him play. But he was phenomenal as a blocker, and he really just should have had that touchdown. He was so, so close to having that touchdown.
And it was an incredible play.
It was. It was so good.
It was really good.
Like, it's the play.
I thought real time he had it.
Me too.
He clearly didn't, but I really thought he did in real time.
Yeah, and that's a play they run for Musgrave a lot, who never actually does anything with it, gets taken down right away, and Kraft actually, like, did a nice, agility-laden turn upfield, shed a guy, hopped over a guy. It was great. It was... I really like what this is turning into. And Musgrave had a good game, too. Like, I don't want to sell him short, even though his numbers weren't quite as big as last week. He was also very good as a blocker. He sprung Reed on the rushing touchdown. And even though he wasn't, like, down the field kicking butt like last week, he was still very productive out there. So I'm so happy with all of the skill position players. Even I know I ripped Romeo, but even he played really well. I will give him props for that, too.
I've been waiting for that Kraft breakout for so long because, like, you watch the college film and the number one thing that stands out is just no one can bring him down after he has the catch. And I know it's FCS competition, but with that size and strength, like, you knew it was going to translate just because of the frame and how he ran. Like, there's a couple plays when you watch his FCS film where he, like, dribbles, like, future accountants off the ground. It's just hilarious.
Ah, phenomenal. I think for him, it was just mental game. You know, the translation from the level of offense they play there to running an actual NFL playbook and having to make your reads properly really did hurt him early. The physical thing, yeah, it's accountants out there, but he's just so much bigger than everybody. That guy's a tank. He and Musgrave both had Kelce as their top RAS comp, but Kraft is like 30 pounds heavier. 30 pounds matters. It matters a lot. I got nothing bad to say about the offense. I thought Love was phenomenal too. A little bit, the deep ball thing showed up a little bit, but he was really accurate on and targeted so many guys. Just the vision was so good in this game. You know, he didn't lock onto anybody. He didn't rely on anybody as a crutch. I think easily his best game as a pro. Like, no question about that.
How do we feel, though, about the rushing game? Because obviously it got dinged up pretty badly on back-to-back plays or span of three plays or whatever. But A.J. Dillon, I feel like maybe, I don't know, he had a couple really nice runs, but the overall numbers were really poor.
Dillon, I think, turned things around. I was so hard on that guy early in the season. Same. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if like he just like played himself into shape, which is a very real possibility. I'm not knocking the guy. That happens with a lot of pros across multiple sports. But just he's running angry. He's doing what we saw early in his career, which is breaking a tackle or moving that pile. But I think the big problem at the rushing game, I no longer think the Packers have a good offensive line. I think they have good individual pieces. But I just turned 30. My entire lifetime of watching football, which started when I was 13, the Packers have always had good offensive lines. So this is a little bit of a shock to me with how poorly things are going.
Yeah, it's especially – so you're 100% right. Dillon, I agree with you. Even though he didn't have great numbers in this game, he looks like he's running a lot better, just a lot harder, actually breaking tackles. This is not a good line. To the extent it's good at something, it's better at pass blocking, but it's atrocious at run blocking. And they've just gotten so much lighter. Rashid Walker is not a good run blocker. I don't think he's ever going to be a good run blocker. But even their good guys are light. Like Zach Tom's great, but he's not a road grader. You know, he's a technically proficient offensive lineman. There's nobody there that's like going to just grind out a down in the middle. Like Royce is weak. John Runyon Jr. is having a terrible season. Josh Myers just haunts us every single week that we have him.
He's having his best year as a pro, dude.
He is. He might be having his best year as a pro. That might be true. It just doesn't matter because he's not.
I want to have JR guess something real quick. I went back and looked at my notes on Rashid Walker when he was going pro. Can you guess who I had a pro comparison for Rashid Walker?
Oh, boy. Alan Barber.
Can I guess?
No. Yes.
Spriggs.
Yes.
No. Kiss of death. It is doom. RIP, they're going to definitely draft left tackle in the first round.
Yep.
And there's some good ones. I'm actually getting kind of excited when I've been – I haven't gone and, like, studied all but sides for Fashanu and Alt. But I've like glanced at a couple other guys. There's some really fun tackles in this class.
Well, that's good. It's good to have your weakness show up in the class where you need to draft people.
At least top heavy, so they're going to have to take one early.
Well, while we're doing quick draft talk before we move on to the defensive performance, since you are more drafty than I am, do you think Caleb might actually fall at this point a little bit? Because it's been a little ugly.
I don't know if it's for his play. I really don't think that offense is good at all. Every time I watch it, I think they have speed, and I think they draw up some fun stuff. That is not a good football team.
It's definitely not a good football team, 100%.
I genuinely think what's going to make him drop in the draft is stupid shit. Sorry, I know we try not to swear on you.
It's Thanksgiving. People's relatives are going to be swearing
damn right.
A lot. Yeah.
damn right we are.
I think it's going to be the he's too soft.
Yep.
He's crying.
It's
to his
the crying
mom.
And it's the pouting. Yep, that's going to do it. Yeah.
And I think everyone got the comp wrong for him. I don't think it's Mahomes. I think it's just big Kyler. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I just don't. I don't know if it's number one worthy. I think he still should be. But I'm biased because I just love Drake May.
I think May's going to go number one now.
He's too polished, and I think he'll be the easier interview. And I think Caleb's just kind of I for all the media and criticism Caleb gets, I don't think he's much of a cocky guy. He's pretty quiet in his interviews. It's a very weird dichotomy between that and how he's perceived.
Yeah, I think he is a little unusual, and I think that's going to turn off some teams too. I think I agree with you. There'll be a lot of like off the field red flags with him that push him down. I think he's a green room tumbler, and be interesting to see where he ends up. And if another quarterback goes ahead of him, I could see somebody falling in love randomly with like McCarthy or somebody and jumping him.
I don't know how you. I get May. I totally get May. I just think that kid's brain works different than a lot of quarterbacks coming out. I don't know who else you could take about. If you take someone about before Caleb Williams, and he goes off, you should immediately get fired.
Yeah, I could see. Well, I mean, Mahomes went third, right? That's.
Yep, that is true. That's correct.
All right.
So this is quite the moment for Jordan Love on Thursday in Detroit. Obviously, the expectation will be that Detroit wins, but if the Packers win, well, now you have to start thinking about the playoffs. You know, the trajectory of this team. I mean, they're in the playoff hunt. They're probably and they have, even though they have the Chiefs, they have other games that they could theoretically win, especially if the Vikings are, still middling or whatever. Yep. So if they lose, well, then it's back to thinking about the draft. And if Caleb Williams is actually going to fall to, like, say, I don't know, sixth or seventh or something, the Packers are also in reach of that. So if Jordan Love wants his job security, he should find a way to pull this upset, because I do think they're going to lose out on Caleb Williams if they win. You know, if they keep winning games, they're not going to have a shot at him or any of the, the top three quarterbacks, or top four.
I think, just thinking about the draft, if he happened to fall into their laps, they should have a plan for that. But at this point, they're good enough that you got a plan for no quarterbacks, I think, at this point. That's where they are. You know, good. They're in the purgatory land, and hopefully
left tank.
You know, it turns out to be much better than I think he will be, and he's showing some signs. Yay. But yeah, you're right. that's also lingering competition-wise for him. He's been bad in primetime, and not this is a primetime game, but it's a game everybody watches. So it would be nice if he showed up just for shaking some of the reputation too.
I think with how bad Detroit's defense is, he should at least have a good game regardless of win or loss. I think he'll produce. I mean, their secondary's gotten obliterated by injuries, right?
Yeah, it's bad. They're good up front, but as long as you can get the ball out, you should be able to pick them apart. Absolutely, 100%. On the other hand,
speaking of,
they're going to be able to run the ball.
I still need to...
Go ahead, Jer.
I'm saying, speaking of reputation, I still really need to know if December 3rd Taylor Swift is going to be at Lambeau Field. I'm really dying to know the answer to that as I'm watching the Chiefs Eagles in the Taylor Swift Bowl. Granted, she's in Brazil or something. Anyway, the Barry defense, man. I'm glad people drop footballs. That's all. Yep. That's all it is for Joe.
Oh man, I saw a horrible tweet. It was the video of Quentin Johnson getting drafted. He told the Chargers GM or owner, like, "You saved my mama. She's going to be able to retire." And someone quoted it and said, "Your mom's going to need to reapply for employment."
Oh, no.
Oh, ouch.
Vicious.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's mean. But seriously, like, they should have screwed this up in the final moments. They should have absolutely lost this game. That was a touchdown.
It was a touchdown.
He just dropped it.
On the other hand, they only have one good receiver. And if you just cover Keenan Allen, you can kind of rely on the Chargers' other receivers to not catch the ball reliably. They haven't done it all season. They're really, really bad at that. So, they got lucky because that was very open. But also, that guy sucks, at least so far. Quentin Johnson maybe will develop. Guys take time sometimes. But, I mean, it is what it is. By the way, I didn't see this. What was the Stone guy touchdown like that was 51 yards? I couldn't get it to play on my phone. It kept zoning out at that point.
Jonathan Owens tried to tackle him by like kind of hugging him, and then Stone just ran by him.
Got it.
In a performance that can only be termed J.K. Scott-esque.
Oh, no.
On a tackle.
Speaking of J.K. Scott, he was in this game.
Yeah, he was. There it is. Nice homage to a former Packer, but it was easily the worst tackle of the year thus far.
Because that guy's not good at all.
I didn't know who that was, and I said, "What is a Stone? What is it? Was his name
Stone Smart?
What a name! Cool name.
Yeah, he was like a cool name. He's like ninth on the Chargers in receptions for the year. It's bad.
Yeah, it was horrendous. One of my colleagues, because we every time we write about Simone Biles, it's usually Jonathan Owens remarking upon Simone Biles' latest accomplishment. That's kind of our way in when we write about this. Right. And it all, every story we write about with Simone Biles does very well. So it feels like at some point we're pandering is too strong, but it's just like every time she says something or every time Jonathan Owens says something about his wife, it becomes fodder, even though it's even not even that exciting, but that's just how it's worked for us. And we, after that play, it's, we were imagining a headline where Simone Biles messages on Instagram, like, "What are you doing, honey?" Simone Biles reacts to Jonathan Owens' terrible tackle attempt.
I relate to this so much because all we can write about that generates clicks, not all, but like the thing we have to write about because it generates crazy clicks, anything Deion Sanders says or does.
Yes.
It's just, that is my counterpart to this. I relate too much to this.
Aaron Rodgers is the same way. I mean, we write, you know, like I say this, we write a lot of stuff. We write a lot of stuff that is not just mining what people are like clicking on, but people are clicking on this stuff. We are paying attention to it constantly.
100%.
Anyway,
yep.
He should tackle.
He should tackle.
Yes. There
were other people who did a good job in the secondary.
There were. Carrington Valentine's good. He's
Can we talk about him right now, or do we need to wait?
No, let's just do it. There's not much else to talk about.
I think what I love so much about Carrington Valentine is when they drafted him, it was the one guy I was like, I know next to nothing about this guy. I did that YouTube series for a little bit this offseason, and after watching it, I was like, there's some legitimate skills here. So to see him just, I think the thing I love most is the energy. Like, he makes a play, and he is like absolutely fired up about it.
Yeah, he is a fun guy. He's super physical, which, you know, can get you. But that's the way to be, especially if you end up making the playoffs. Physical corners rule there. People swallow the flag and whistle. I like that some of their preseason stars who didn't really show up for the first half of the season are actually starting to make some hay now, and he's one of them. He struggled a little bit in limited time, but he just looks like he is going to develop into that guy. And that's great. They lost Razul, but he looks like, if you're relying on him as one of the guys of the future, that's outstanding. It looked like they didn't get beat up too bad on the run, except for Herbert scrambling, which is nice to see, since, you know, that's how you beat the Packers. And Eckler was pretty much kept in check in this game. I mean, he had a decent yards per carry, but not too bad, and not a disaster.
But just a huge fumble. Like, if he doesn't fumble that ball, I think the Chargers win the game. It's just another crazy mistake, but huge Eckler fumble.
Yeah. I just think he looks slow. I know he's never been fast. He looks slow nowadays.
He's having a bad season. Sometimes the little guys, when you give them a lot of carries, don't always age well. I mean, he's best catching the ball, and they really leaned on him last year doing both. Like, I think he might just be kind of gassed from carrying the Chargers. I mean, he was in the Joe Lombardi offense last year, which was entirely predicated on throwing the ball to Eckler every single play. So they led the NFL last year in throws that did not produce a positive EPA. They had 142 completed throws that didn't produce a positive EPA last year. That is the second highest total in the history of the NFL to a Joe Flacco Ravens team. You can't have Justin Herbert doing that. So Eckler got killed. But good Packer defensive effort, and drops and fumbles notwithstanding, and not getting totally gouged on the run, and, you know, kind of holding their own against the guys that are pretty good.
Is this as bad a year as I think it is for Jair Alexander? Because it's gotten to the point, obviously, the injury has really kept him out a bunch, and kind of gotten to the point where I don't really worry about it or think about it. You know, it used to be when Jair Alexander was out, it felt like it'd be a really long day. Some of this is opponent dependent. They haven't maybe faced teams that can really take advantage of that. But like, is anybody worried that they're just going to get burned deep all day? No one. I don't know. I don't feel like Jair Alexander is being missed in addition to the struggles he's had when he's been in there.
I definitely don't want him to play when he's hurt. He's definitely having a bad year. And I do feel like it's hard to tell with him a little bit how much is, are you getting old? Do you have a bad back? Are you injured? Or do you not want to play for a rebuilding team? That's tricky.
Getting old? My Lord, what is he, 26?
He's 26, but he's got a bad back, which makes him old. I also don't think, like, guess Matt Schneidman did not do him any favors by reporting that he was going to play.
Oh, man. Sorry, I don't want to say anything about that.
I don't want to bury him. I think
yeah.
somebody probably did tell him that Jair was ready
yeah,
to go. And I think it reflects at least a little bit poorly on Jair that, you know, that somebody out there thinks he's ready to go. So there's that. People get bad leads once in a while. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I am also glad Rashawn Gary got a sack, because I was sick of people complaining about him not getting a sack. And it was an important sack. It caused a punt.
It was.
So, yay for him. Anything else to talk about on defense? I
have something.
Okay.
So is Kenny Clark in coverage, the new Preston Smith in coverage?
Yes,
they dropped him into coverage in fourth down.
They sure did.
And it led to a wide open tight end that dropped the hell out of the ball.
Too surprised.
I want
to catch
all the Kenny Clark in coverage. I want it. I want it every day.
You want it because it might turn into a touchdown at some point.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? I mean, you can't imagine. There's a picture over there on the wall of imagining it in the year 2011. Yep. Supersized is the headline. Oh man.
I'm trying to do the Raji dance, but I can't show my waist on camera.
Yeah, no, it's for the best, but I definitely, I would love that so much. And he bats down the pass at the end when he wasn't dropping in, when he's not dropping into coverage. He's also awesome at the line.
Yep. And caused the fumble.
That's the thing that bumps me out the most about this year. Is like, I feel like Kenny's having quietly one of his better years, and it just doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I think he is. Like, you know,
yeah,
playing as more of a pass rusher, I think, has freed him up a little bit. I do feel like he will occasionally freelance and miss a gap. I'll like catch him going, like biting on play action a little bit more than I think I used to, but it also pays huge dividends. Like, he gets in faces a lot. So it's good. Really quick. Worried about Anders? I'm worried about Anders. 53, I don't care about. That's a tough field goal, but I'm sick of his PATs. It's an adventure.
Rookie kickers.
Yeah.
Fair. Maybe I'll figure it out. The thing I'll never discount a kicker and not figuring it out, because I still remember that weird Mason Crosby year. Yeah. Like that really weird one, and then he's just fine. Might take him some time. I don't know. He's got a leg.
He does.
So
he can kick far.
I would rather in a year like this let him try and work out kinks because he has such a strong leg.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Yeah, I feel that way too. This is still it's just not a playoff team. I know there are seven playoff teams. I know an 8-7 team is going to make the playoffs, or not 8-7, 9-8 team is going to make the playoffs. But it's not going to be the Packers. It's just not going to happen.
In a kind of sick way, I kind of enjoy a year like this because it is fun to watch this team in a different way. Going, not thinking about a championship or playoffs, but I'm just thinking about who are the guys that are getting better. And it's kind of a fun way to watch it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's probably why we enjoyed this game so much, is we got to see some of these younger guys really take strides, which is
what
we want to see.
Genuinely.
This would have been torture under a normal circumstances. With Aaron Rodgers, this would have been a torturous game. We would have been furious. But this is, chance to grow a little bit, chance to get a win. That's all it is.
Yep. Really good point. All right. Should we do questions and knock this pussy out?
Let's do some questions. All right. Here we are, patrons. Happy Thanksgiving to all our patrons.
Yes, indeed.
They, of course, have question priority. We'll start with Donald Anderson, our loyal tracker of the personal foul penalties. The Packers have gone zero games since receiving personal foul. They could not even go one play without getting one. The coaching of this team sucks. Are there any specific analytic measurements? This is a second question. Are there any specific analytic measurements with regards to injuries by team? If so, does ranking teams by player health show some teams do a better job at this than others, or is it truly random?
Ooh, I can do that one.
Yeah, that seems like up your wheelhouse.
Yeah, so yes, there are. They tend not to be compiled till the end of the year, but Football Outsiders in particular runs AGL, which is Adjusted Games Lost, and the adjustment is for valuing like starters and important players' losses more highly than, you know, backups. So it's not just counting the number of games people spend on IR. It's waiting for how important those people are. And we have year-to-year AGL stats. They are they're good and solid, and I can tell you, so it's not totally random. It does fluctuate from year to year, but teams that actually get hurt a lot one year tend to recover to the mean, but not totally the next year, because one of the biggest projectors for a player getting hurt is actually if they have gotten hurt recently in the past. Guys tend to get re-injured more than they get injured the first time, and so it actually does take a while for teams to get all the way back. Now, it does happen occasionally. Teams will go from first to last every once in a while. I remember it happened with the Bears a couple of years ago, and you can count on some regression, but generally speaking, it's kind of a long-term thing, and if you are snake-bitten with injuries one year, you usually will be the next year too, and usually like a little bit the next year too while you get kind of back to average. So I do think it is probably random. There are probably small differences in training staffs that do minimize things. There, you know, one of the things about this, I wish actually Matt was here for this, but one of the things about training generally is that there are a lot of divergent ways to do it, and there is not a lot of great data on it, and there's going to be a bunch of people who yell at me like, actually this does this and does that. Yeah, fine, okay. But really, like, there's not like a good set of data that just is reducing all injuries. So it's a little random, and there's also some cause to it. But yeah, we track that rigorously. You can see AGL numbers at the end of the year every year, and you can go in Football Outsiders and find all that pretty easily.
As for the first question, I don't know how bad coaching is for the personal fouls. Clearly, Levitt was just in the wrong because he got his ass cut. So
Yeah. You never see that. Guy just gets cut after a horrendous penalty. I think it was probably a situation where what was Levitt really adding to this whole operation?
He was Rich Bisaccia's dude.
He was.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that if you're Rich Bisaccia's dude.
TJ Wessels said, let's have some fun this week, hopefully. Pick one player on offense and one on defense, and pick what Thanksgiving dishes they are. This can be good, Rashawn Gary's stuffing, because stuffing is amazing, like Gary. Or bad, Jonathan Owens' is green bean casserole, because I don't understand what either of them brings to the table. Okay. I should look at these before I start reading them, because I just don't get answers. You know, I don't get answers in my head. But do you guys have something?
I mean, it's a holiday. I'm not doing prep work, so. Tyler, do you have one? Go first.
Is Kenny Clark stuffing just because he stuffs the middle? It seems lame, but... Jair would be something extremely chaotic. Whatever some chaotic good Thanksgiving dish is.
Yeah, like sometimes some of those casseroles end up with horseradish in them, and then they just got a crazy zest to them.
Yeah,
it would have to be something like that.
Dontavian Wicks' is pecan pie. He's sort of he comes behind pumpkin and sometimes even apple in terms of. Of hype, but is secretly the best one and should get more time than he actually does.
I really like that.
Christian Watson is the guy that brings his drunk family to the table.
Oh, jeez.
Man. Justice screenshotted a down where Christian Watson was outrun in a straight line by Dontavian Wicks, who is not a 40 burner at all, and so he might be a little on the hurt side too.
That stinks too.
What is the worst Thanksgiving food? Actually, green bean casserole is, I think, maybe the correct answer, at least in my opinion. Mm.
One year, I really hope my family doesn't find this. They don't listen. They don't care about the content I produce, so it's fine. They're not listening. One year, we went to my wife's side of the family, and an aunt who was, and God bless her, she is a healthy person and really was really into health food. And I don't know what happened to the sweet potatoes or all the other things that I wanted to eat, but they were definitely deeply healthy alternatives. You know, I don't know what was in them, but it was one of the most disappointing Thanksgivings of my life. It was so brutal. I could barely, I didn't even have a full plate. And that was it. That was my Thanksgiving for the year. So This is not a time to be healthy, people. This is not a time to look inside yourself. You have New Year's Eve or New Year's Day or whatever, and every day after that for that shit. We don't need to be healthy on Thanksgiving. Just live it up.
So normal sweet potatoes are Valentine, and what you had is Ballantine.
I love that. Yes, yes, yes.
I don't think we're beating anything but that. That's very good.
That's great. No, and it's not like Corey Ballantine's that bad, but this is perfect. Perfect. I love it so much. Mark Pitscarby says, after the game, Jordan Love said Matt LaFleur drew up the touchdown to Watson on the sideline. I remember Rodgers doing something similar a couple times. Does this happen more than we think, or is this just a really cool thing?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I assume occasionally that you have a situation where the quarterback just sees something that they can pick on, and a play comes in and it's just not conducive to running that. And that's when you do something like this. And you know, if you have good chemistry, like Rodgers and Davante Adams, you know, you can do that with a wink sometimes. If you don't, if you're all rookies, then you do, you know, the drawing it up in the sand every once in a while too. The Cook pass, wasn't that a drawn up in the sand Rodgers play that against the Cowboys? Isn't that the lore of that thing?
Yeah, I think it is.
I mean, trusting Rodgers.
Yeah, it was just a scramble.
Yeah.
I have a real life example of this.
Okay.
13 seconds left against a top team in Ohio, the freshman side. I drew up something in the huddle for a receiver and we scored on it to win the game.
Nice.
It was incredible.
Yeah, buddy.
Good work.
I find it hard to believe that they draw, you know, they have to have stuff scripted for all these guys that are like 23 years old and younger. Like, there's no way that they can do this with regularity,
right?
Because it's already such a challenge.
And drawing up in the dirt is definitely a euphemism. You know, it's probably like, instead of running what the coach sent in, let's run this established play we all know, except with this little tweak. That's probably how it goes.
Yeah.
Did you guys win the game, Tyler?
That was a game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, it was incredible. Sweet. Jonathan Deal says, Love has shown more progression in 2 weeks versus the entire season and the previous 3 years. What can this be attributed to? Did something just click? Better play calls?
Just, I think, natural growth plus natural growth of people catching the balls. I mean, we've been critical of Love, you know, on earlier podcasts, but I think we've been as critical of all the guys catching passes and, you know, pointed out Watson struggling a whole bunch of times and saying Wick should get more time, which he hasn't until recently. And, you know, wanting more read, wanting Musgrave down the field. Some of that's play calling, but some of that is also guys learning their routes properly and learning to make, you know, mid-play adjustments properly. And I think it's just a lot of it's people gelling properly in addition to Jordan Love getting better and seeing these things open up in real time versus, you know, being a see-it-throw-it kind of guy. So a little bit of each, I think, is the correct answer.
I think the best way to visualize it is the last few weeks you haven't seen two guys running the exact same route to the exact same side of
Good
the field.
Call.
Like, you don't see that anymore. Like, I think it's very clear the young guys are starting to get comfortable with the playbook.
Yeah, it's been really great. Patrick Detmer, the only rationale I've been able to see for playing Rashid Walker over Yash at this point has been that Walker will be under contract next year and they need to try to develop him, whereas Yash is probably gone. So then how the heck do you explain John Runyon Jr. continuing to get snaps over Sean Ryan?
My go-to...
Sean Ryan, pass block?
Yeah, I think my go-to explanation for this is pass blocking over run blocking. That people just generally speaking value it more. And Walker, he's not great at pass blocking, but he's okay at it. He's definitely better at it than run blocking. And Ryan is not. He's a run block first guy. He struggled in pass blocking when he's been asked to do it. And I think that's probably as simple as it gets. Like, that's probably the answer.
Yep. Probably is.
Clearly, Joel Osment, a question of value based on their performances or lack thereof. In which rounds would you assume this year's rookies were drafted? Bonus round, Christian Watson. That's kind of a fun question.
That's a tricky one. That's fun.
I still think you can make the argument that Van Ness was a first round pick because you see the true athletic flashes and you know it takes a while for some edges to develop. So maybe you could say second round, but.
Yeah, not too bad. You're right about that. He's a bigger edge too, so like he's supposed to be more well-rounded. I do think Reed's about right. Like he's round is about right for him. I would
Musgrave
say,
too. Musgrave, yeah. That seems right.
I think Musgrave that seems right too. I agree.
I think the biggest upsides would be Wicks and Wicks. Valentine. Yeah, you think Valentine was a day two pick easily.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd say Valentine would be like a third rounder. And Wicks probably also like a, not a Packer third rounder, but like a normal third rounder, you know, and like even Kraft in the fourth, I think is about right. So, yeah.
They need that draft to be good because they have not hit on their drafts. They need the last
look
couple.
Like it's good.
So it far, sure so does. Good.
All right, this
what
is a weird one.
Hold on. What is Christian Watson?
Oh.
Oh, God.
Where was Tyquan Thornton drafted a couple of years ago?
Man, so I would still say like third for Watson, I think. Like
yeah.
Athletic got raw athletic guys are they should be third rounders. Like Claypool was overdrafted. Jacob Harris, I think, was a third rounder. Who if you don't know who that is, he's kinda like Christian Watson and maybe not in the league anymore. I think that's where you put those guys.
I mean, if Amari Rodgers is a third rounder, then Christian Watson is still a third rounder.
Amari Rodgers should have been a sixth rounder, though. That's the problem there.
That's true. Okay, so here's a weird one. Dutch Boy 5 has a movie mashup question. I'm just going to read it. I don't know if I quite get the logic yet. What is Matt LaFleur thinking? You had me at 4-1-3. Just when I thought Matt LaFleur couldn't get any dumber, he calls a pretty good game and totally redeems himself. Just when I thought I was out with high draft picks, they pull me back in with a win. I can't read the next one.
No, there's
I mean,
lots
I can't.
Of swearing.
Well, and I don't mind the swearing. It's just, it's a lot. It's complicated to read.
So these are all
and then
movie
what
quotes,
say you,
right?
Yes. So the question is, favorite of the quoted movies, and what is another you would throw in with Packer references? So let me try. I'm not even going to try the swear word one. I can't do it. But, I also don't know which movie he's referring to with all the swear words, so I'm. You could start by wiping that
it's
dumb,
Planes,
dumb smile off your
lips.
Oh man, John Candy, I'm so sorry.
That,
oh
that
wow,
that one takes the cake for me. I don't even need to hear the rest.
Yeah, although that's
that
that's Steve Martin to the what rental car agent or bus company lady or whatever. Yeah. I don't remember the.
Got it. Yes. You are absolutely right. I have not seen that movie in ages and ages, but it is the perfect Thanksgiving movie, as it is the only relevant Thanksgiving movie.
Also true. Well, Godfather 3 is one of them, right? That's that's terrible.
When I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Yeah.
You know, everyone dumps on Godfather 3, but that is all the other quotes that you get from the first two movies, that is one that people still come back to. Yep. So
we got Jerry Maguire, you had me at 4-13, and we have Dumb and Dumber.
I've never seen that.
Oh, you had me at 4-13. I get it. I said 4-1-3. I'm sorry, I'm an idiot.
It's all right. And the he calls a pretty good game and totally redeems himself. It's Dumb and Dumber, right? That's what that is.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is the best movie here. And coming up with another random movie you can make a Packer reference to is really hard on the spot.
On the spot, it's impossible.
I still have never seen Jerry Maguire. And the guy that it's based off of did a blurb for my book, and I still haven't seen it.
Oh, so, dear. Okay.
Yeah.
I have never been a big fan of Jerry Maguire. I think it's actually a fine movie. It's one of those things where it doesn't really need to be about sports and maybe shouldn't be about sports. So,
The problem is the best parts of that movie is the actual scene that involves sports.
That's
at least
true.
In my opinion.
That is true. You're right about that. The Tidwell stuff is the best stuff.
Yeah. And also the scene where Tidwell has him on the phone while he's hemorrhaging clients on the other lines.
That's
and,
a good scene.
Good stuff. I do not love Jerry Maguire. It's fine. The 90s, I'm a big Oscars guy. There's a suite of 90s years where all the nominees are just meh, very mid. Some of the winners are okay, like Forrest Gump and Braveheart are good movies. But Jerry Maguire, Oscar Best Picture nominee. It's not wouldn't have been my choice that year. Yeah. It's all right, though. Okay, so we'll move on to Ryan Ziegler. A bone to pick with Matt. Slow can be smooth. Smooth can be fast. But there is no guarantee that it happens without proper coaching. Pedantry aside, that is a reference to Matt's quote from last week.
Yeah.
Slow can be smooth. Pedantry aside, is this growth because the team is no longer driving faster than their headlights and things are making sense? Or is it just what should happen against an equally bad team?
Yeah. It's always a little of each. The Charger defense is bad. Should probably make that, especially if lose a Bosa partway through it.
Oh, man. Partway, like play three or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a rough defense. But aside from, like, they're not an atrocious defense. They're an NFL defense. And I do think, like, the Packer growth is legitimately more important here than just picking on a bad defense. And, you know, picking on a bad defense can be hard if you don't have the pieces for it. Like, you have to actually be able to exploit weaknesses that are there. And they did it and looked smart and good doing it. So I think growth is the thing to focus on here. Bad defense is bad defense, but they actually did what they were supposed to do, and they should have won by more. I mean, they should have won by more, and they also should have lost. That is also true.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
You could say that about five different games on the calendar this year. You know, the Saints game, the Falcons game, the what's the other one that they lost by? The Steelers game. Yeah. Like, there's so many different sliding doors. Ultimately, it probably lands right where it's supposed to at 4-6.
Yep.
And that's just football. Every team has a game they should have won, should have lost at every level. It's just a thing.
That's why
we love this sport.
You do as you go back and look at the schedule in total, and it's like, okay, they haven't really been dominated this year. Obviously, the Lions.
That Lions game, they destroyed. They destroyed so bad.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess, I mean, on the whole, they've been in a lot of these games. They've been within reach anyway. It has felt like a major, of course, down year. But I can't explain it.
I do remember a moment when they were fighting back in that Lions game. I think there was a big play at the end of a quarter that got back in it. Yeah.
Then things went south after that again. But that was a tough scene. The Bears should have absolutely beaten the Lions this weekend.
Unless they're trying to lose, which it felt like.
I don't know. Like, it was exactly the type of way that the Lions lose games typically, and now they're the ones winning the game. But I found that super interesting. The Bears were really, or the Lions were really up against it and somehow clawed their way out of that game.
Everybody should look at the win expectancy chart for that game because it is bonkers.
Yes. That is actually the game I was watching in this house because my wife is a Lions fan and I didn't care to go to a different TV to watch most of the Packers game.
It's impossible to not love Dan Campbell. I don't care that I'm a Packers fan. Just every time I see that dude, I'm just like, I want to try his coffee order one day and see if I die. I really do.
They're just
Go ahead.
They're just so well put together. And the one thing, like, I like Dan Campbell too, and he's a great rah-rah guy. They did a good job keeping Ben Johnson. I do wonder what happens to that team when Ben Johnson does become a head coach. That's my one big concern about them. And that's my concern on every time there's a defensive coach at the helm, because you need the offensive guru to do it. And if there's a spot for him to get promoted, it becomes a problem.
They have the line play that I wish the Packers still had.
It's so good. Their line's great.
Really sweet, sweet play. Yeah, they're really good. And Aiden Hutchinson is fun too. Like, on the other side of the ball, they have a guy who's just a dude. And even when he's not making plays, he just feels like he's causing problems and other guys are scooping it up. So it's kind of fun to have that. Price Trozen says, is it time to get Zane Anderson more snaps at safety after proving his special teams bona fides? He's real and he's spectacular. P.S. Big thank you to your pal and mine, Archon, for lighting a fire under the Bucks, who haven't lost since he torched the coach last Tuesday. I appreciate his service. Should be great content for JR and the Point Forward podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. He's right. We didn't, I often, like, I didn't mention Archon by name on this week's Point Forward podcast. I feel, first of all, Archon is not his name, so that's partially why. But also, you know, I don't want to, like, lay it at the feet of one guy. You know, like, I also think he made really good points. So I didn't want to, like, put it, you know, I didn't want to put his name onto it. There are a lot of people that were very down on Adrian Griffin, and I think there was some evidence to show why, but the Bucks do appear to have turned a corner because they have not won four straight. They won tonight. They have won five straight since Archon torched Adrian Griffin. So,
hey, lost to those Pacers though. Go Pacers, baby! I'm feeling thirsty. Let's go.
Clearly, because of Wisconsinite leading the way.
Yeah.
Although I saw the Wizards tonight, and I'm pretty sure Jordan Poole, as good as he is, I think might actually be the reason why the Wizards are bad. Strangely, even though he's kind of awesome individually, so. Sorry, too much basketball. Zane Anderson, who is a Packers Twitter phenomenon, as someone who does not seem to actually exist, but then occasionally makes an appearance.
He seems fine.
We don't have an opinion about him at all.
Made.
We know nothing about him, right?
It's all. We know as much about Zane Anderson as Archon did about the Bucks when he wrote that column. So,
shots fired.
He's gonna yell at me in Slack. But that is it. Archon's thing was very well researched. There's a lot of good statistical work in it, and it made a lot of sense. However, small sample size. That is the point.
That's true. He, I'm sure, is messaging you right now, even though this is not being broadcast live anywhere. I just have a feeling. And he's going to be in a bad mood because the U.S. soccer team lost tonight.
So. Oh, yeah, he's going to be hacked off about that.
Oh, no.
All right, Mr. Charcoal. Sorry that we don't spend more time on Zane Anderson, yeah. But I'm not sure it's warranted.
He might not be real still, so.
He might not be real. Mr. Charcoal writing, sometimes it looks like Jordan Love has a licking problem. I haven't worked out the pattern, but I worry his weird lip-licking habit is going to become a tell for opposing defenses. Does Jordan have a licking problem? Only on this podcast can we ask the hard-hitting questions.
I'm going to never not see it, so
right.
we'll find
out. I think
out.
It's an earnest question. Like, yeah. is he giving information away with his,
First of all, good question. Second, no idea. People have tells. Maybe that's one of them. Let's watch and see what happens.
I don't know. JD asks, is LaFleur back in his bag again? Seems to have found it. Sub question, is Anthony Johnson Jr. something?
Tyler, is Anthony Johnson Jr. something?
I think he's something. I don't know what his upside is. I think he's better than Owens because, holy crap, I'm sorry. That's gotten really bad. As far as LaFleur being in his bag, I feel like, did we see a trick play? Oh, we saw a flea flicker that didn't end up being a flea flicker because of how badly it was blocked.
that was bad, yeah.
That was bad.
I heard that on the radio, and they didn't even know what to make of it. Like, I'm not sure what happened. A.J. Dillon had the ball, and then it was Jordan Love was getting tackled. I think it was a flea flicker, Wayne. that's how you know it was a poorly executed play. Anyway, continue.
I don't think he's in his bag. I think it's more of the guys are running the right stuff, and then therefore the offense looks better. I think a lot of this blame on LaFleur was kind of unwarranted with such a young team. I don't think he's that bad of a coach. We'll see what happens when this team becomes more seasoned, if he sticks around, which I am very curious about. But I wouldn't say he's in his bag. I would just say the offense is just operating as it should.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think most of it's just execution is better. As it should be. So if the stuff looks better, players make coaches look good.
I need to confess something. I, until, I don't know, 6 months ago, didn't really understand what the expression "in his bag" meant. I thought it had something to do with getting the bag. I thought it had to do with, like, counting your money, counting your millions, and being like, I'm going to show you I'm worth it, and doing something cool. I didn't really know. I am kind of now learning that it's like in your bag of tricks, as in you are... able to show some, like Giannis is in his bag when he hits a turnaround jumper at the elbow. This is different from typical Giannis, which is run and slam it down your throat. So that's this is a little bit of a revelation to me. I'm probably the idiot here, but in case there are others of you out there who struggle with some of the random urban dictionaryisms, I want you to know you're not alone.
Yeah, never thought about it actually, but I couldn't have told you about it. What it meant until right now, after hearing explanations of it. So,
oh, there we go. Yeah. See, we're dropping knowledge. We are educating on the, I don't know, what do you call these idioms, sports jargon, slang, weird phrases. All right, Mark Podskarby. Oh, second question this week. He posts a link to Jacob Morley with some stats on Twitter. The TLDR version is it shows that Jordan Love is. In his last few games, his deep ball has been pretty solid. It has not yielded many plays that should have been turnovers. And so Mark asks, based on the stats in the tweet, has Jordan Love solved his throwing deep problem?
No. I agree. And I think it's important to call out the difference between just throwing like a 20-yard laser or a 15-yard laser that the guy turns into a 35-yard play versus what deep ball we're talking about, like kind of the down the sidelines rainbow, the go route, the nine ball, and that's where he really struggles in leading guys, in actually like hitting guys over the top, keeping their momentum going. He's really good at throwing to guys that he can see that on posts where he's looking right at them. That's always been a strength of his, but it's the deep ball, like the Watson down the sideline deep ball, where he's not good still and wasn't on Sunday either.
Yeah, it's, I think the footwork has looked better the last couple of weeks. It's just, I don't know if he's comfortable at all with that. I think maybe it's just the way he throws the ball. I don't understand how it's so wildly bad when he tries to put touch on the ball.
Yep.
I just think he's incapable of it, where I'm going to hate saying this and I'm going to get roasted. Someone I always thought had a really good touch on a deep ball coming out was Mac Jones. Like, someone that was phenomenal putting touch on a deep ball. I just don't think it's something that Jordan Love has.
Yep.
I mean, somebody thought, oh, shoot. Sorry, guys. I lost you guys for a second. We're back. Somebody thought Mac Jones was worth turning the keys over to. So you can't be blamed. You're not the only one. There are very smart people in football who thought Mac Jones was an NFL quarterback.
I was really hoping the Bears were going to draft Mac Jones, if that makes you feel better. So.
Okay, we're moving on now to Blue Sky questions. Kaz, how sure are you that Penix has a 30 arm? Every time I've watched him, I'm impressed. This is a good Tyler question,
I'm glad
right?
I mean, I know both of you. That's why I put it in here.
Yeah.
Justice thinks his arm is bad. And I've been collecting reports on all college quarterbacks, like arm strength. And everybody thinks Michael Penix has a good arm. Like, everybody who randomly tweets about him as a prospect, that, like, it's always like live arm, good. Like, arm talent, not a problem. Stuff like that. So I was wondering what you thought.
It's so weird because I used to think, yeah, has a very good arm, and you guys started talking about it. And I don't know if it's he has a like arm that just like rifles the ball out. But I think why everyone's so impressed is that he hits those out routes like or across the field and can like place it really well and hit a guy where a lot of NFL quarterbacks struggle with that. So I don't know if that's like velocity as much as it is just arm talent and placement. But I just think there are these tough throws that are deep or, again, across the field that he hits that make people think his arm is just like a rocket. And maybe people are also confused because he's a lefty. I will ride or die for Michael Penix. I don't know what he is as an NFL prospect because a part of me was convinced that he played at IU when I was in school there. And I graduated 7 years ago. That's where we're at now. And he's old with injury history. Yep. His arm's questionable. And he's playing with a lot of really good talent right now.
He is.
But I will root for him wherever he goes. It's not every day that you have a former Hoosier competing for Heisman Trophy. So
I'm going to be hugely pro him. So I'm really trying to get a good read on this. And maybe we'll put some rigor
he's
to it at some point.
He's probably the toughest evaluation of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I feel like star power in college at the quarterback position has changed with the NIL situation. I mean, and the ability to transfer without punishment, because obviously guys like Penix, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, these guys are on their second high profile university. And I don't know, I could just name a lot more quarterbacks in the, you know, there aren't typically the guys in the draft. There's Josh Allen's, you know, there's guys who you've heard of, but only because they became big NFL prospects, not because you know them from college. Or necessarily that they wowed in college. And now, I don't know, like there's just stars up and down. And, you know, you got guys like Penix who might end up being like fifth round pick, or a sixth round pick, or a second round pick. I have no idea at this point. But there's, I don't know, there's a lot of dudes out there. It's kind of fun. I don't know if any of them are going to be good NFL players, but.
I got to watch Jaden Daniels. So on our podcast, Fan Buzz League Weekly, which you can find on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everywhere. It is a college football podcast. Beginning of the year, I said I was not sold on Jaden Daniels. I thought he dropped his eyes too quickly as a thrower and always wanted to run. And boy, was I wrong, because he has come a very long way.
He's having a phenomenal season. I don't know what to make of him either. A lot of olds who are having good years.
Yes. Yeah. Tough break for our Florida State guy.
Oh, man. Jordan Travis. Really a shame.
That was tough.
The broadcasting crew should have cut away from that injury so much sooner.
Yeah, they should have.
Poor guy.
Gruesome. That's going to set them back a little bit. That's a bummer. Okay, Wizard of Loneliness. This is the last question we got. Recent offensive success has hinged on actions bloggers and reporters have noticed for weeks. More read in Wix, Musgrave at the seam, craft on out routes, etc. What takes coaches so long to adjust to what can be seen from our stands and couches? Is it practice time to put it in? Is it practice time to put it in? Hubris, other? That's a good question. I assume it's playbook is the big answer.
I think that's one of them. I think another is, first of all, sometimes we're wrong. These are all highlighting things that we're right about, but I'm sure there's stuff we're wrong about. The other thing is, you actually have to walk up to these people and tell them this kind of thing. You know, you have to, if you're taking away snaps from somebody, you have to walk up to that guy and say, hey, we're cutting you from, you know, 50 to 20 this week. Go get with the second team. That's hard to do. A lot of times there's inertia with what you're used to doing on a week-to-week basis, especially with seniority involved, where it is hard to make those changes. Football coaches are paid to make those hard decisions all the time and should do it, but, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. You are more inclined to stick with what you've been doing and to defer to experience, even if it's just one extra year of experience over the young guys. So a lot of that goes in. It's easy to sit here and say that guy sucks. It just is. It's much harder to be standing on the sidelines with that guy in front of you and be like, you suck, go do less. That's difficult.
I'm sure a big part of it is playbook too. Like, hey, we have this playbook in place. We have an offensive philosophy. Let's see if these guys can get comfortable with it or eventually develop into this role that we need them to be. And if we're finding some shortcomings, that's when we can adjust the playbook and play to their strengths. So I think that's kind of the phrasing versus, I know a lot of, you know, great coaches are always described as have your playbook fit the players and not your own personal scheme. Let's be honest. Every coach wants to stick with what they have already because it's easier and not having to make up new stuff for new players.
Yeah, and once the season starts, like, you only have a week to do that. And, you know,
it's so hard. It's so, even at my level, it's hard to install stuff when you have so many other things going on.
Yep. Totally. That's it. Hey, we're done.
We're done.
Yeah. So happy Thanksgiving. And before we go, JR, do you have anything that you would like to plug for the JS?
It's a light week because of the holiday, of course. Yeah. I had a lot of fun this last weekend at the state football championships. We had a ton of readers. We did 7 games, live blog, live updates for all 7 games. I would say that two of the games were absolutely sensational. Another two were very, very good. And I think there were things to take away from the other three as well. It was just a really good weekend of football. I had a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys paid any attention to it. I don't know why you would have, but the Division 6 game featured two small schools, both very good, Stratford and Darlington. Stratford won on an untimed down. There was a defensive holding penalty that allowed a German exchange student to kick the game-winning field goal. He had not kicked a field goal. He'd kicked extra points, so it's a little misleading to say he didn't kick a field goal because, you know, the field goals they let these kids kick are basically just extra points. Right. Anyway, but he kicked his first field goal of his season, of his career, on an untimed down to win his team the state championship. And he gave this joyful interview afterwards where he is, you know, he's talking about how happy he is. And it was just a delight. It was a crazy game. The team had chewed up 11:50 on a drive almost the entire fourth quarter. Oh, missed a kick, had it blocked. This was the first field goal attempt of this kid's career. And then got it back on a fumble as the other team tried to like scramble together in the final 30 seconds. And that gave them another kick on an untimed down. It was insane. Definitely the best game of the weekend. And there was another really good one that came down to a 2-point conversion, a winner go home moment. And it was incomplete, and team won their first state title. So that was cool as well. Like Geneva Badger, but the Stratford game was fun. The German kid was fantastic.
That's great. All right, Tyler, you got anything?
I just got an offer on a house acceptance. So please, please, please read FanBuzz and subscribe to FanBuzz Weekly wherever you listen to podcasts so that I can keep getting paid and start paying a mortgage.
There you go. Read FanBuzz, help Tyler out. Help Tyler remain not homeless.
Write a book, buy a house. Let's go, Tyler Brooks.
I'll tell you what, the money that went from getting that book did not go toward house.
but you can at least buy takeout when you haven't, you know, don't have any kitchen supplies.
Exactly. Yet. Yep. You got it.
All right. I will.
Nice job, man.
Very nice.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Congrats, man. as for me, my Shepherd column will be up momentarily once I hit submit on the button that I have in front of me right now. Go check that out. There will actually be a mini pod. I already recorded it, so it will not be up to date for injuries, but it will go live on Wednesday morning, I think, since it's a Thursday game. But yeah, that's it. Go check that out. Listen to this podcast, and we'll be back next week in a more normal week and recap whatever happens in the Detroit game. Hopefully good, but if not, yeah, you know. Enjoy the game. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Love, like a fire flow.